Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. All right, so admit it. Come on. You have your calendar and you're marking the days down for November 8th when this election will be over. I've got that. I'm doing a countdown every single day. And this election's not going to go down quietly. We're having issues popping up now and some news stories that have just broke in the last 24 hours. In the Miami Herald, they reported two women, two separate cases in Miami, arrested this week on voter fraud charges. Gladys Coejo, a temporary worker for the county elections department, was charged with two counts of marking another person's ballot, filling out ballots for mayoral candidate Raquel Regalado. The other woman was Tamika Kurgel. She was caught filling out forms for other people without their consent. She was also submitting at least a dozen or more forms for people who apparently don't even exist. Kurgel, by the way, linked to the group People United for Medical Marijuana. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about breaking news out of Broward County. The judge has made a decision in the case of ballots that were missing Amendment 2. And the judge has sided with the supervisor of elections office. We'll get into that a little bit as well. Oh, by the way, there's also a presidential race. There's a U.S. Senate race. There's a lot going on these last 11 days. I'm joined now by Amy Sherman of the Miami Herald and Sergio Bustos with Politico. Amy, Sergio, great to have you back.
Thank you.
And again, I want to post this question out to you. If you have any problems with your ballot, if you've had a strange story to share about your voting experience, please share it with us. 800-743-WLRN. You can also tweet us at WLRN. All right. First of all, I mean, just this story that broke in Miami-Dade. Sergio, I'm just wondering, when you hear stories like that, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Because Miami-Dade's had its share of voter fraud issues.
Well, I think you hit it right there. The problem here is it's history. It's precedent. And when issues like that pop up, especially in this kind of mood of the country now where everyone's kind of on edge, it doesn't help to kind of reaffirm that things are okay. Now, you could also argue that these folks were caught, if in fact they are guilty of it, but and so you can say the system works, but it certainly doesn't help build confidence.
You know, I've only lived here for a couple of years. I did grow up in South Florida, though, so I do remember, you know, from West Palm Beach, hearing a lot of the different stories about what was going on in Miami-Dade, and I wondered if maybe the biggest story ever to come out from Miami-Dade was the 1998 mayoral race, the one that had to be invalidated because of voter fraud.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example. And it's happened elsewhere around the country as well, too. In fact, I think the chances of fraud happening, on election day is usually not great. Where the fraud happens is with absentee ballots, because, you know, they go into the hands of people and then they're mailed in. Those are the ones where the fraud is more prevalent.
Amy, talking about this, you know, when we talk about this particular election, I wonder if any one thing jumps out at you. We've had the issue here in Miami-Dade. The story I want to get to here in a moment about the ballot in Broward County. And again, the judge's decision coming down recently on that. But, you know, the tight race in the U.S. Senate between Marco Rubio and Patrick Murphy. President Clinton and Donald Trump, again, still kind of tight in the state of Florida. But, you know, we hear it all along. This is such an important election. This is one of the most important ever. But you've seen plenty of elections. Really, overall, what's your take?
Overall, I think the big question for Florida is, do we remain a purple state? You know, will this be a state that ends up voting for Clinton, but then also for Rubio? Also, we've seen a massive growth in independents this cycle. I think we're waiting to see if those independents lean left or right, or if they are truly independent and end up splitting in the key races.
All right. Now, I did mention moving up to Broward County that a judge has decided, sided with the supervisor of elections office. What we knew of the story was that at least a couple of ballots had come in, or I should say people had called in and said, I don't have Amendment 2 on my ballot. There was a lawsuit filed, and the judge came down with a decision again for the supervisor of elections office. To either Sergio or Amy, have you heard of that before, where a ballot was missing amendments or even candidates?
I have not heard of a ballot missing an amendment entirely. We've heard of mistakes such as, you know, a spelling error, but this was really unusual, and it started off with two Oakland Park voters, and the elections office saw those ballots and confirmed that they were indeed missing the medical marijuana amendment. And Brenda Snipes, the supervisor of elections, initially said she thought it happened by test ballots that were created specifically in Oakland Park after a candidate dropped out, and that those test ballots were sent in error. But then the plaintiffs who sued her found two cases from Plantation where voters were missing the amendment on their ballot, too. So it couldn't have just been test ballots in Oakland Park.
You know, when you have a case like that, by the way, is it a matter of can they go back and look at any other ballots that have already been turned in to see if there were more than just two? Or once it's counted, is that it?
Yeah, this gets complicated. If this was really a widespread problem, I think with all the media coverage in the past week, we would have heard an outpouring of similar situations, and we really haven't. It's been a trickle. Snipes did say that she instructed people who open ballots to examine them and verify that Amendment 2 is on there, and that she alerted supervisors at early voting sites to be on the lookout for this. And they haven't found more situations. Those who sued her wanted her to do more, you know, put a notice on Twitter, on her website, actual signs at polling locations. However, the judge today ruled that Snipes has taken enough steps to protect voters and to provide replacement ballots, so she doesn't have to put up signs or do anything to publicize this further.
It's not to say that this is unique just to South Florida, but let's also be honest that Florida gets a pretty bad rap around the country. And it all dates back to 2000 and the hanging chads in Palm Beach County, my former hometown, West Palm Beach. Sergio, when things like this happen, I'd almost imagine that supervisor of elections offices start to worry a little bit, get stressed, because they don't want to become national news.
No, especially the issue in Florida is just that, as you mentioned, you know, the 2000 election, 537 votes separated, you know, the Democratic candidate Al Gore from the winning Republican candidate George Bush. So when you have a close election where, and it's heard over and over again that every single vote counts, when there's an instance like this involving the ballot in Broward on the marijuana amendment, again, it just doesn't give you all the sense of confidence that things are working correctly, and that's not a good thing.
All right, I want to move over to some bigger races. By the way, I do want to mention that we're going to skip through a lot of different things. There are a lot of things going on between now and November 8th. Stick around for the next hour, though, because Tom Hudson is going to be talking a lot more about this issue in Broward County and the recent decision that came down. Also, the latest news from Miami-Dade. Again, two women arrested for voter fraud. He'll go a little deeper into that. So just stick around for the next hour for that. I want to move to the bigger races, the Senate race and, of course, the presidential race. By the way, I think I'm being told that I may have just misspoke, by the way, when I said Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I may have accidentally said President Clinton. My apologies. That, please understand, misspoke. And I know some people will read into that differently. But let's go to the U.S. Senate race. Patrick Murphy, Marco Rubio had their last debate just a couple of days ago. This is a tight race. According to a poll in Florida Atlantic University, Rubio has a 4-point lead. Wondering from this past debate, Amy Sherman, I'll start with you. Did Marco Rubio do anything to solidify his seat? Did Patrick Murphy do anything that he might pull off the upset?
I felt like both stuck to their talking points. Murphy has repeatedly bashed Rubio for continuing to endorse Trump and picked on him for his record of missing votes in the U.S. Senate while running for president. Then Rubio has tried to portray Murphy as kind of a do-nothing congressman, a legislative lightweight, and also kind of needled him for being the son of a very wealthy dad, trying to portray him perhaps as out of touch with the lives of average Floridians. I didn't think that for undecided voters that debate was necessarily going to help them.
And Sergio, you know what, is Rubio's seat one of those seats that Republicans considered kind of teetering on the edge, could be in danger of losing?
Well, the feeling was that it was not. In fact, they've been, although they have been putting a lot of money there, but I think they felt pretty comfortable. And the polls, I think our last count was like about two dozen had shown Rubio ahead. And you know, comfortably ahead in Florida is three, 4 points. That said, Murphy has closed that gap pretty severely. And I think when you have, at this point, with people early voting, there's far more attention than the average voter. They're paying more attention to the race. So it does give them a chance. And then, of course, Murphy's going to put in some of his own money. He took out a loan. He's guaranteeing it to buy some more ads to see if he can get a few more voters to his side. But it certainly is much closer than it was, say, a month ago.
Now, we see some of the other races around the country, other congressional seats, Senate seats, where Donald Trump is actually playing a role in either helping or hurting that candidate. In this race, the fact that Rubio has kept his support for Donald Trump, is that helping or hurting him?
Are you saying, well, Trump is hurting, I think Rubio's been having trouble with this political tightrope he's walking, where he has to somehow keep a distance from Trump, but still not alienate Trump's loyal and passionate kind of following. The same holds true in some of these congressional races, where at least you got Carlos Curbelo and Joe Garcia, you got Curbelo not endorsing Trump, kind of staying really away from him. And then Garcia continuing to try to pound Curbelo and try to link him to Trump. That just has played out not only here in Florida, but all across the country.
And Amy Sherman, moving over to the big race, obviously the race that has taken all the oxygen out of the room. I know, such a cliche. The presidential race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. The different polls that I've seen show six polls have Clinton in the lead, three polls have Trump in the lead, one of them has them in a tie. But really, over the last couple of weeks, what have you seen? Is the state still, you mentioned a purple state, is it teetering one way or the other here?
And if we look at the average of the polls on Real Clear Politics, Clinton is just slightly ahead. I think it's going to come down to turnout, particularly in South Florida. Clinton is really banking on a high Democratic turnout in South Florida to wipe out some smaller, more conservative areas in the state. In 2012, Broward had one of the lowest turnouts among large urban counties, and Broward is the most left-leaning county in the state. So is Broward excited enough about Clinton to help her pull this off? You know, we're going to see that in about a week and a half.
And, you know, with barely 11 days, actually, is what I had mentioned. Really, at this point, is there anything else that either candidate can do? I'd imagine they're going to plan at least one more trip to South Florida.
Well, in the case of Trump, you know, he was here for 3 days this week, hitting at least seven different cities. But Clinton also, she was here 2 days. In fact, she's here again today in Orlando with a guy named Barack Obama. So clearly the Clinton campaign is stepping down on the, you know, hitting the gas pedal as much as they can. They're all over the state, and then I would imagine they'll be here next week as well.
Amy, I'm sorry, you were about to say something?
Yeah, and Clinton has tried to use star power in the home stretch here. J-Lo's having a concert for Clinton in downtown Miami Saturday night. I think Clinton's trying to appeal to younger voters who weren't going to stand in line for hours to hear her give a public policy speech, but might be inspired to vote from a concert. So that's her strategy for this weekend. And then Obama's also coming back to Florida next week, and really he's her top surrogate. He's the one that can really give a fiery speech that then gets repeated in free media. So those are kind of her strategies that remain for the final days.
And I also saw that the percentage, the chance that Florida really is going to be perhaps the key state in this race, I think had the greatest chance. Again, going off the 538 website, Florida has a 14.5% chance of being really the key state for either candidate. I don't know. Is Florida, of course, is going to play a big role, but just final comments from both of you. Really, do you see it running smoothly, and how big a role do you think the Sunshine State will be? Sergio.
I fear the electoral process.
You fear.
I hope it runs. I assume it will, and I don't want to sound like Trump on this, but you know, it is always a close race. And again, when these talk of voting problems or ballot problems appears, it doesn't help.
Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to distinguish between the large-scale voter fraud that Trump has alleged, which PolitiFact rated Pants on Fire, and more, you know, the sloppy mistake we saw in Broward. Those are two totally different situations.
Amy Sherman is with the Miami Herald. Sergio Bustos is with Politico. Again, talking 11 days before we finally decide on all these races and all these amendments. Sergio, Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can always share your thoughts on this, by the way. Again, I still want to hear from you. Have you had any strange experiences with your ballot or voting experiences? Share it with us online at Twitter at WLRN or find our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/TheFloridaRoundup. Coming up next, if Zika wasn't enough, coming up, we'll talk about the screw worm. I'll explain. This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN.